Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening this morning. I want to begin this morning by reading from the scriptures, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. When one reads Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus in chapter 4 in those first six verses, we are encouraged and commanded to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Do we do so at any cost? Of course not. This gives us no right to depart from the Word of God, no matter what course of action we may be talking about. These seven things are areas of Christianity that encompass the way we are to have true Bible unity. In most of our discussions, there is little disagreement on four of the five of the divine platforms, but with the other three, you watch the fur fly. We do have differences over some of the doctrine taught in the areas of one Father, one Lord, one Spirit, and one hope. Yet let us shift the discussion to the subject of faith, body, and baptism, and our conversation will become strained, if not terminated. The area of countless discussions and disagreements is over the subject of baptism. When discussing faith and body, when the scriptural text is given, the truth is accepted. Yet the person will desire to enter the Lord's church on their former baptism. Can this be done? I will try to answer this vital question. And here is the question. Denominational baptism, is it the one baptism? Now, you may be wondering, what do I mean by denominational baptism? Well, what I mean is the baptism of men, the baptism of a man-made organization that gains you entrance into that man-made organization. Even if it's immersion, even if you go under the water, is that the baptism of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5? Is that the one baptism? Well, let's see what's under consideration in Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. There is one body. Well, that means there's only one church. And that's according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 through 23, where we find out that the body is the church. There is only one Spirit. That means that there's only one revealer, one revelator, one that revealed the mind of God. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 13. There's only one hope. There's only one anchor of the soul, according to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. And that hope is in Jesus Christ. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father save through me. He is the only hope that man has. There's only one Lord. There's only one head of the Lord's church, and it is himself. According to Matthew 28 verse 18, he has all authority in heaven and earth. According to Colossians 1 and verse 18, in all things he has the preeminence, and according to the passages that we read just a few moments ago, in Ephesians 1, 19 through 23, he is the head of the church. There's only one faith. That means there's only one standard of truth. There's only one standard of truth. And that was once delivered to the saints, according to Jude verse 3. It is how faith is produced. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. In our society, there are many faiths, but according to Ephesians chapter 4, there is only one, and there is only one standard of truth. Of course, we understand there is only one Father and one God of all. We read that in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3, and there's not much debate about that, except if you're talking to someone of the Islam faith that believes that Allah is God. And so there would be some disagreement with that. But there is a human amity that we understand that there is only one God the Father. Yet what about this baptism? The Bible says there is one. But some will point out that there are others. Yes, there are. We see in the book of the Gospel that there is John's baptism. But John's baptism was for repentance, not for remission of sin. There's Holy Spirit baptism in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10, but that was a baptism that was promised, and it was never commanded. And we have Moses' baptism in the wilderness, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, but that baptism has served its purpose. And then in Matthew 22, we have the baptism of suffering, but again, that had reference to the suffering that Christ would endure on the cross and prior to the cross. But yet, when we look at water baptism, that is the one baptism of Ephesians chapter 4. That is the same baptism of all the conversions in the book of Acts. And that is the one baptism that is included in being born of the water and the Spirit in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And so, while there are many different baptisms in the Bible, there is only one that remains that is binding and necessary, and that's the baptism in water for the remission of sin. But you know, you have some who have a different progression of salvation. When we read the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that we read just a few moments ago, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Man must hear or come in contact with the Word of God. But then he must believe what he's heard or he's studied. According to John 8, verse 24, if we don't believe that he is deity, then we'll die in our sin. And then we must repent of our sin. In Acts 17, verse 30, Paul told the Athenians, who were idolaters, that the time of vengeance God once winked at, but he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17, verse 30. And then we're to confess Christ as the eunuch did in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37 when he said he believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then we must submit to baptism as Jesus said in the Great Commission in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be condemned. And then, of course, we must remain faithful to his cause, and we must be faithful to his duties that he has given us according to passages like Revelation 2 verse 10 and 1 Corinthians 15 verse 58. But those progressions to salvation is very simple if you read the Bible. Yet if you listen to some, they have a different progression of salvation. They say a person is saved first. They believe, they repent, they confess, and they're baptized and they can remain faithful. But they've already been saved at the point of their faith. And their baptism has nothing to do with their salvation. And yet, that understanding cannot be squared with the Scriptures. That is a theory of man, and that is human theology. That is not biblical truth. Biblical truth says that baptism is for remission of sins, Acts 2:38, not to gain entrance into a religious body. It is not an outward sign of inward grace. Ask the person that tells you that to give you the passage that gives that description of baptism as an outward sign of inward grace. Again, that's human theology. Which is correct according to the Scriptures? Man's progression of salvation, or the one that we studied a few moments ago, and we read each one in the passages of God's Word. Well, let me ask you a question. Which is correct according to the Scriptures? It says, we're added to what? What is man added to? Well, he's added to the church according to Acts 2, verse 47. That's the one body. It doesn't say about being added to anything else. If you're added to a denomination, if you're added to a man-made organization, if you're added to a religious counterpart, that's not the church of Ephesians chapter 4 that said it's one body. Man must be added to that one body, and you can only be added to that one body when you are baptized with that one baptism. What body? Well, the body of the church that the Lord died for, the one that he purchased for his own blood, Acts 20, verse 28, the one that he promised to build in Matthew 16 through 18, and the one that we were baptized into by the Spirit according to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. Well, what's baptism for? Is it to demonstrate an outward sign of inward grace, as so many tell us? No. According to Acts 2, verse 38, the purpose of baptism is for the remission of sin. It's not an outward sign of inward grace. It's a demonstration of a good conscience, according to 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. And according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29, it puts us in the Christ, and we put on Christ. Why do we need to do that? Ephesians 1, verse 3 says that's where all spiritual blessings are at. And we're baptized into what? Not into a religious organization. We're baptized into death, Romans 6, verse 3 and 4. Why are we baptized into death? That's where he shed his blood. And according to Revelation 1, verse 5, we're cleansed by the blood of Christ, and that blood of Christ is contacted in the waters of baptism, according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Excuse me, Colossians 2, verse 11 through 13. And the blood of the New Testament was shed on the cross for the remission of sin. We know that because Jesus himself told us that in Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 through 28. And according to the conversion of Saul that he recounted in Acts 22, it says, "Why dost thou tarry? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sin, calling on the name of the Lord." It's the authority of Christ. We're baptized into Christ, and we put on Christ in baptism because we have his authority to do so. And so, let me ask you a couple questions in closing this morning. Can one hear another gospel and obtain the one faith? Certainly not. Another gospel is a perversion. We read that in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Can one hear the doctrines of men and be added to the one body of Ephesians chapter 4? No. It will not add you to the Lord's church. It will add you to that religious organization or affiliation of that particular human theology. It won't add you to the one body, because you haven't followed the scriptural progression. Can we be taught wrong, baptized right? No. You must be taught right in order to be baptized right. And can we be baptized in water for the remission of our sins and still be wrong? We can if we don't understand and we truly don't believe in Christ and we truly haven't given our heart to God and we haven't been converted. Yes, it's possible. And so, what am I saying? I'm saying that denominational baptism, as it's called in the world, is not the one baptism of Scripture. You know, I once heard a fellow in a debate say, defining human theology baptism, that says if you seek it, you can't find it. If you find it, you can't get it. If you get it, you can't lose it. And if you lose it, you never had it. Brethren, that's all confusion, and that's theories of men. Let me tell you what the scripture says. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16, 16. And baptism is for the purpose of remission of sins in order to obtain Acts 2:38. Any other baptism, even if it's in water, even if it's immersion, if it is not into that body, and it is not for that purpose, and it is not for salvation in Christ, then it is useless baptism. Why? Because God said it was. There's only one baptism. Read Ephesians 4 and verse 5. It's not up to debate, and it's not negotiable. There is only one. Thank you for listening. Please come and be with us this morning as we open the pages of God's Word in our Bible study and in our worship. And if you have questions, we'll be glad to entertain them. Tune in again next week.